Every time the world faces extinction, existential crisis, there is always good fighting against it. Ready to size up to the needs of the moment. Bad stuff happens, it seems like, every week. Evil forces are at work, surprisingly, constantly trying to rule the world, dehumanize us, enslave humanity with disregard for life. But these outside forces of darkness, which seem utterly scary in the moment, seem indestructible, they're always matched by the force of good, with the power to morph into the right kind of fighting force that you need for the moment and protect humanity every single time. You throw in 5 monocolored leotards and a kicking electric guitar riff, and you have the world of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Every Saturday morning, I remember growing up watching this world. And yes, I'm a child, mostly of the 90s, who is shaped by this sort of scary enemy coming, but then the good guys can always grow and get bigger. And then the bad guy sort of somehow becomes a giant. And so the Power Rangers become a giant. And then they put all their robots together and become something called Megazord. And they win every time. They power up to meet the moment predictably, although it was very tense for me watching it. We will always win is the message that I got. And life as we know it will be returned to normal. Except when it doesn't. Today is Good Shepherd Sunday, and I think many of us quietly expect a Power Ranger gospel. A Power Ranger shepherd who powers up when trouble comes, someone who will remove danger for us every time, fix valleys, defeat enemies, and restore us to life as we know it and love it. But our reading presents a different shepherd. In fact, all 4 of our readings today present a challenge to our common understanding of what it means to be shepherd. He is a shepherd who is ready for suffering, for evil, for the distance that that creates, for the hardships that the flock will know. And he is one who enters it with us. But he doesn't always keep us from it. So the question of our day today that we're going to circle around is, why is this shepherd good? And is he really the shepherd that we want? Psalm 23 is going to be our main text today, but we're going to touch just a little bit on all of them. Let's look first at Psalm 23, the opening, because we love it so much, and our response to the valleys that it describes. Our default response to Psalm 23 and the valley that it describes in its middle is to look for another shepherd or to self-shepherd. This is surprising because we love how it opens. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures, quiet still waters, refreshing my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Now don't let it go by us here that actually this is God kind of letting himself go low here. A shepherd is not a great image in the ancient Near East. They're stinky. They're the outcasts of society. By the time we get to our Gospels, they don't really even have standing for their voice to mean anything in court because they're just outcasts. But here's the God of the universe identifying himself as shepherd. And not just any shepherd, but so intimately close with his flock to know them this well, lead them to this pasture, this stream. Don't miss the fact that this is God going low. And we love the picture that he paints. Please, let's stop the psalm after verse 3, because that first 3 verses, that would do just fine. Let's keep it that way. We don't want to hear about the valleys and the darkness, but they're there. We imagine, not without reason, that a good shepherd would never let his sheep find themselves in a dark valley in the first place. How do we find ourselves there? How do we understand our shepherd as good in this way? You look at our gospel reading today. He promises life to the full. We layer all kinds of expectations over top of what life to the full means. What does it mean that our shepherd is a good shepherd, especially in seasons of suffering, of hardship, of confusion, loneliness? I think it's not a bad thing for us to long for a picture like the one painted in Psalm 23. No evil, all things going well. We're longing for the thing that God himself longs for and promises on our horizon. No tears, no pain. Everything is good. But in a broken world, that's not our reality. And the fact that we can pretend almost like it could be our reality is something of a modern and privileged reality itself. Most of the world throughout most of time knows that life in this world just includes hardship and suffering. How lucky are we that we can almost pretend like that's not the case, but we experience it nonetheless. And so, even in the darkest valleys, I will not be afraid, because my shepherd turns into a large robot that fights off all evil. That's right. No, because he is with me. His rod and his staff comfort me, the implements of a shepherd. He does fight off enemies. He does guide us with his shepherd's crook into the right places. But he still doesn't keep us from all the suffering that might come our way. Even though I walk through the darkest valleys, I will not be afraid, because you are with me. There's something that I've always found confusing about John chapter 10, this depiction of the Good Shepherd. And let me commend to you all of John chapter 10. So in our three-year cycle of readings, every Good Shepherd Sunday has a different set of readings about this. But the gospel is just breaking John chapter 10 into three chunks. Sit with it this week, please. But there's a part in our passage that I never quite understood. It says, my shepherd know my voice. My sheep know my voice, and they will listen to no other. I have found that to be utterly not true. I listen to all kinds of other voices besides my good shepherd's voice, especially in the darkest valleys. When I am suffering or when I'm going through something difficult, if I don't see that Megazord on the near horizon, I try to power up. I try to control the situation that is in front of me. I try to harden myself and face whatever it is that I have to face. Maybe that works. Maybe it doesn't. Usually it doesn't. Then I try to find other, more confident voices out there, other supposed shepherds that I can lean on. I can lean on their confidence. Other shepherds that will promise that things will go well if only, insert here. We look for false shepherds, or we look to ourselves to be our own shepherd, when the good shepherd seems to delay or not be present. I will not be afraid, for you are with me. Instead of powering up or trying to control our outcome, what does it look like to follow the good shepherd? Because when we start self-shepherding, we lose sight of the one that we're meant to follow. Let's take a peek at our Acts passage here. This is a passage about Stephen, who shows us what it means to look for our shepherd. That's a hard passage, this one. Stephen is a man that has been appointed by the church because he is so full of the Holy Spirit, so full of wisdom, so service-minded. He's caring for other people and so devoted to Jesus. Right? This guy is no chump. He is preaching the gospel just before our passage, which is what gets him into hot water. Stephen, as this crowd of angry men is about to charge at him, looked up. I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. He looks up and sees nothing other than his shepherd. As he looks up, he sees Jesus standing there. It was shaped by the very thing that he saw. Stephen would go on to be bull-rushed, captured, and as these stones that would promise to crush his body unto death start falling on him, he prays to his shepherd, "Receive my spirit." And then he prays for the people who are throwing the stones at him. Do not hold this against them. They don't know what they do. If that sounds a little bit familiar, I bet you can imagine where it comes from. It echoes Jesus' words on the cross. The perfect human being. Stephen, in his suffering, in looking for his shepherd and seeing him, is made more human in the process. Look at the crowd of angry men. They're angry. They bull rush Stephen, literally gnash their teeth at him, right? They're so angry that they're just baring their teeth at him like this. They literally close their ears and start shouting. Luke depicts them as if they're becoming more like animals and less human. They don't care enough even to have a curious glance over their shoulder, like, oh, maybe the shepherd is up there. Maybe what Stephen is saying might be true. No, they do everything they can to block it out and ignore it and become less human in the process. The shepherd humanizes us. False shepherds degrade us, dehumanize us. Notice the Power Ranger gospel at play here. These angry men think there is a problem in front of me. Let's power up and take care of it. They power up and close their ears. But the shepherd's gospel is to power down and go low. Pray for those who are throwing stones at him. The promise of being able to look for our shepherd rides on the fact that he already sees us. Stephen could not look to the skies for his shepherd without trusting already that he was seen by him. And being seen makes all the difference in the world. I imagine somebody lost camping on a mountainside. How desperate of a situation that might be. Maybe nobody knows where you are. There's no hope that there would be help on the way. It's all up to you to figure out your situation and get back to safety. But what if you knew there was a helicopter on the way? Somebody saw you. Somebody knows where you are and what you are going through, and they're on the way. How might that change the course of decisions that you make? Being seen changes everything. That's the promise that we ride on, that Jesus sees us all the time, but especially true in the hardest seasons of our lives. He does not see us the way that we might see one another. He sees all of our thoughts, all of our emotional landscape, all of the challenges, all the moments where you are trying your best to do the right thing, but it just goes sideways. Your shepherd knows where you are, and he sees you. Can you believe it? Stephen looked up, spoke like Jesus into his circumstance. He trusted, forgave his enemies, and died. The crowd stopped their ears. In doing so, they were no less shepherding. I love the figure Saul in this story. A few chapters from now, we'll pick up his story. Saul is the young man who becomes one of the most powerful voices in the New Testament, Paul. But at this point, Saul is just collecting coats, right? It says in our passage that the men would throw their coats to him as they go off to stone Stephen. They are shepherding this young man through their actions, through what they are doing, but they are false shepherding him because this is not the path to green pastures and fullness of life. Stephen becomes, through his suffering, an under-shepherd of Jesus. And the power of something that the world would call destroyed and weak comes to fruition later in Saul's life. The shepherd, the true shepherd, does not lead us to power up, strengthen up, bow up, and control our suffering. He calls us first to power down. Slow, low. And listen for the voice of our shepherd, who is always guiding us if we will but take the time to listen. There's a third implement that the good shepherd has to use. Yes, the rod, the staff. But the good shepherd has the cross. It was the one time that Jesus, in his whole life of looking to the Father, looking to his shepherd. One of the most common phrases in all of the Gospels is that Jesus would go away, spend time with the Father, go away in isolation. And usually this was ruined because more people would show up. But he did it anyway. He was always listening for his shepherd. He always heard from his shepherd. Except for one time. When the end result of our ignoring and plugging our own ears to our good shepherd fall onto him. He looked for the voice of his Father in heaven and once did not hear it. So that we would never have to experience that. The promise of our good shepherd is that every time we look to him, he is there and he sees us already. He sees us and he will guide us. The good shepherd ministers to us through the cross, laying the foundation of a promise in our lives that we are always meant to return to. I don't pretend to know where all of us are today. You may be in a season that's just mountaintop experience. Praise the Lord if that's the case. Listen for your shepherd nonetheless. For those of us who are going through a hard season, know that your shepherd is with you. That he sees all of what you are experiencing. And he longs to lead you in and through it. It will require slowing down, powering down, going low. Often enough, it means, say you're in an argument or you're getting bad press. It doesn't mean trying to shout down the other side. It might mean slowing down, taking the low path. Being curious, listening for the voice of your shepherd. Don't fall into, like this child of the 90s, the Power Ranger gospel. Strength and bowing up is not the way of our Good Shepherd. Our Good Shepherd doesn't in the end leave us as sheep. And this is where I'd like to close with the observation that actually following the Good Shepherd in this way transforms us. And here's one of the places that I truly believe Christianity has one of the most unique offerings in the world. What do we do with suffering? Do we try to write it off? Ignore it like it's not there? Suffering in and of itself is not something that our Good Shepherd causes, but it is something that he uses redemptively. Stephen himself became an under-shepherd and impacted the life of Saul here. No less is this true for any of us in the seasons of trial and suffering that we go through. As we look for and listen to our Good Shepherd, we are being shaped and formed into his image. As we learn how to faithfully wait and listen, even as things are going sideways around us, we learn how to be able to sit and wait and listen with those in the world around us. And friends, that is the only way this world is going to get back upright in any kind of way. Under shepherds, in the image of Jesus, at work in the world. This is the same reason that in our reading from 1 Peter, God can ask in any kind of a way for us to bear up under suffering, to submit to our local authorities, even ones that aren't quite getting it right or maybe don't have our best intentions at heart. There's so much more to be said about that passage as well. But it's the spirit of the shepherd that actually causes us to be able to go low, not try to power up, and wait for the guidance of our shepherd. So, here's my invitation for us. Know that he sees you. Look for him, especially in seasons of suffering. And whatever season we happen to be in, create spaces to notice what God is doing already. This is especially true if you're going through something difficult. Create space to listen. Right? Name the valley honestly that you might be in. Maybe even take Psalm 23 into the valley with you and ask God how he's going to make good on this promise. You can ask God, where are you with me right now in this? And not be afraid that you're not going to hear from him or that you might not get the answer you want. He promises to be with us, life to the full, as our gospel passage says. Stay present with our shepherd and act as if we are seen by him and there is a helicopter coming. Not like you are alone on a mountainside and it's all up to you. We all know valleys. We know the uncertainty and the fatigue. We know what feels like unanswered prayers. We know leadership pressure, family strain, church questions. Worshiping in the afternoons may not be everyone's favorite time. But how is the Lord forming something in us, actually? Not just a season to push through, but something that the shepherd is using with great intention. What is he forming in us? Whatever season you find yourself in, know that you are seen by our Good Shepherd. And when we learn to live as a people who are seen, we begin to recognize his voice more and more. And he does have fullness of life for us. I promise you. His presence in this body of Christ is the thing that this county needs as the vine pursues being in and for Haywood County. So let's listen together for the voice of the shepherd. Amen. Let me pray for us. Jesus, guide us and help us to see you seeing us. Create in us that spirit of the under shepherd. We pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen.